Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shavuos Daf Lamed Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins from the top of Daf Lamed Ches. The Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Shavuos HaPikadon Ketzad, Tein Li Pikadon Sheyesh Li B'yadcha V'chule. Here is an example where the V'chule is essential, where you have to see the continuation of the Mishnah. Before we deal with that, first we note on the side of our Gemara the Nosei, the topic heading, which reads as follows, Kolal Chayav Achas. If, in a case of several people seeking the return of an item, an entrusted item from a guard, from a bailey, and he denies having their item, and he swears a general oath denying to all of them having their items. So in the event, of course, that he is lying, he will be in violation of one offense. And the result, of course, is the need to bring one sacrifice. Porat chayav al kol echad v'echad. If he individualizes his oaths, swears separately to each one, so he's considered in violation of multiple offenses. Machloikes tanoi ma'u kolal u'ma'u prat. We'll see a Tanaic controversy as to what constitutes a general oath involving then the violation of one sin, you know, the bringing of one korban, one sacrifice, and what constitutes itemized or individualized oaths. It depends, of course, on language and sensitivity to language, and for our purposes, we're just going to focus on the technical aspects as opposed to, let's say, the translation element, which I'm not sure would hold us in good stead anyway, even if we were to attempt to translate. So we want to note the differences, technically speaking, between the different opinions. We recommend looking at the Mishnah, specifically the section of the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Vav Amid Beis, 17 lines into the Mishnah, and notice, it says there, Hoyu Chamisha Toivin Oison. We're five trying to recover their entrusted item from the guard. Omru Lo, Tein Lonu Pikadon Sheyesh Lonu Biodcha. And they said, give us back the entrusted item that belongs to us, that's in your possession. And his response is, Shvua Shein Lochem Biodi. A single oath, he swears that I don't have your item in my possession. So he's considered having sinned and guilty of bringing only one sacrifice when, of course, this is all a lie. However, Shvua She'ein L'cha B'yadi V'lo L'cha Chayav Al Kol Achas V'Achas. And we're going to assume for the time being that that is the opinion of Rebbe Meir. There is no name, and often we say Stam Mishnah Rebbe Meir. As far as what we will see in the Gemara, though, we might see something different. We might see that this is a reflection of another Tanaic opinion. But let us be aware that in our discussion today, we will be encountering Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Yehuda, as well as the Mishnah itself making reference to other Tanoim. So that, according to this, if you say Shvua she'ein l'cha biyadi, and then adding v'lo l'cha with the vav being prominent, v'lo l'cha, that individualizes the oaths. Rebbe Lazar in the Mishnah says at shiomar shvua v'achrona. Rebbe Shimon Omer at shiomar shvua l'cha l'echad v'echad. These additional opinions are not going to be the central part of today's discussion. Let's now turn to our Gemara the third line from the top of Daf Lamed Ches, where the Gemara itself begins. You might want to take note that we have on the opposite margin, the inside margin of the Gemara, we have two charts that are drawn from the Rashi, in which you can see circled names. You see Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan, and they themselves, they disagree regarding the Tanaic opinions. Now, the first, the Gemara, Tonu Rabbanan, Kolal means you lump them all together, you included all the different parties or items being sought from you, the Bailey, and issued one oath, Kolal Eino Chayov Elo Achas, and in the event that you're lying, so you're guilty of bringing only one sacrifice, Porat. If you individualized, Chayav Al Kol Achas, V'Achas Divrei Rebbe Meir. Interestingly, in this source, Rebbe Meir doesn't give us any specific examples. What constitutes Kolal, what constitutes Parat? Rebbe Yehuda Omer, Shvua Lo Lecha, V'Lo Lecha, V'Lo Lecha, Chayav Al Kol Achas, V'Achas. And we saw this kind of language in the Mishnah, where you address each person, even though you don't repeat the word shvua, you use the word shvua itself, which means an oath. I swear to you that I don't have, and not to you, and not to you. That, nevertheless, constitutes individualizing the oaths. Rabbi Elazar Omer, lo lecha, velo lecha, velo lecha shvua. According to Rabbi Elazar, as Rabbi Elazar appeared in the Mishnah as well, when you add the word shvua at the end of this list of denials, then chayav al kol achas v'achas. That constitutes a list of individualized oaths, and hence chayav for each one, each denial. Rabbi Shimon Omer, ad shiomar shvua lechol echos v'echos. Rabbi Shimon says you're not considered having individualized the oaths unless you say shvua lo lecha, shvua lo lecha, shvua lo lecha. You repeat the word shvua to each one. And now we embark on an Amoraic controversy between Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan. On the side of the Gemara under our Nosei Mivne heading, you can see we've noted that we see a machlokas Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan. Be'ech magdir Rabbi Meir. How does Rabbi Meir deal with the expressions velo lecha velo lecha? Vim ze nechshav prat le Rabbi Meir. If this too is considered prat to Rabbi Meir, then in addition to lo lecha, lo lecha, lo lecha, then mahu klal Rabbi Meir. If by using the vavs, which in effect links them together, nevertheless, that's considered individualizing the oaths, what then would be considered the klal type oath, the general, collective oath? The Gemara, Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, Klolo Shel Rabbi Meir, Proto Shel Rabbi Yehuda. What Rabbi Meir terms is a klal, Rabbi Yehuda would term as individualized. Now this gives us a little glimpse into what Rabbi Meir's opinion is, because in the source we just read, we saw Rabbi Yehuda saying Chayav Al Kol Achas V'Achas when you use the vav in connecting referring to each one. You said shvua lo lecha, v'lo lecha, v'lo lecha. That, as far as Rabbi Yehuda was concerned, was prat, individualized, as he said, chayav al kol achas v'achas. So, if that's Rabbi Yehuda's prat, then according to Rabbi Meir, that would be klal. You join them all together using the vavs, making it a collective oath. So the klal of Rabbi Meir would be the same as the prat of Rabbi Yehuda, and klolo sh Rabbi Yehuda, whatever represents the klal of Rabbi Yehuda, is the proto shel Rabbi Meir. Now, when we studied the source itself, we didn't see what the klal of Rabbi Yehuda was. It would be revealing, let us say, to know what that was. So, we have a chart that's taken from the Rashi. If you look at the upper part of the page in the margin, Shmuel's name is circled, and the first line of that chart after you see in the two columns where Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, the first example was Vilo Lecha Vilo Lecha, and that we already said, according to Rabbi Meir, since Rabbi Yehuda has terms that as Prat, so Rabbi Meir views that as Klal. That's clear. Now, what would be the Klal of Rabbi Yehuda, which Shmuel says is the same as the Prat of Rabbi Meir? So the next line on that chart, you see, without the Vavs, you see a person, the Bailey said, Shvua lo lecha, lo lecha, lo lecha, down the line without Vavs. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, that would be a klal. According to Rabbi Meir, since you didn't use the Vavs, that would be prat. That's an example of individualized oaths. So, with the benefit of Rashi and our chart, we can see that Rabbi Meir and Rita argue in both examples of Shavuos, in the V'lo Lecha V'lo Lecha, as well as Lo Lecha and Lo Lecha. Let's continue in the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Hakol Moidim B'V'lo Lecha Shu Prat. According to Rabbi Yochanan, everyone agrees when you use the Vav that is considered individualized. And on our chart, the next chart that you see on the side, we have Rabbi Yochanan, who you see circled, and we wrote in Hakol Moedim B'Velo Lecha Prat, and on the chart itself you can see V'lo Lecha V'lo Lecha, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda both hold that's Prat. Lo Nechleku Elo B'Lo Lecha. The machlokus tanoim is only in the case of lo lecha without the vavs. Shirabi meir omer prat, and that you can see on our chart. And Rabbi Yehuda omer klal, and Rabbi Yehuda would term that as klal. So as far as lo lecha is concerned, both Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel have Rabbi Meir saying that that's prat, and Rabbi Yehuda saying that that is klal. What's not clear yet, the Gemara will ask this in the next line. If you're looking at Rabbi Yochanan's version of Rabbi Meir, all we see are examples of prat. What's the klal of Rabbi Meir? So let's continue in the Gemara. V'ezu klolo shel Rabbi Meir. What's the example of the collective oath that would result then in only one sacrifice? Answer, Shvua She'ein Lochem Biyodi. And by the way, this just happened to be the example that we saw in the Mishnah, where if a person had said, Shvua She'ein Lochem Biyodi, Eino Chayva Lo Achas. The Gemara continues. B'mai Komiflegi, what is the underlying point of Machlokes between Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan? The Gemara points out, Shmuel Diek Mi Braisov, Rabbi Yochanan Diek Mi Masnis. And here we're not getting into let's say translations, but rather what's the source of each one's information. When I say we're not getting into translations, we're not getting into, and as far as our presentation of the Gemara, we're not getting into what's the deeper meaning of these respective phrases, series of oaths, but where simply did Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan get their information from. And as we go on in the Gemara, you can see we have a double underline which highlights first Shmuel Diek Mi Brais, and a few lines later, Rabbi Yochanan Diek Mi Masis, and how each one figured their conclusions. Of course, within each presentation, Shmuel's presentation, we'll see Rabbi Yochanan's response to that, but not that that constitutes the responder's source. The Gemara, Shmuel Diek Mi Braisa, we learned the Braisa above, and he said, "Midikoma Rabbi Yehuda v'lo lecha protahavi." From the fact that Rabbi Yehuda said that v'lo lecha is an example of prat, and he's coming on the heels of Rabbi Meir that preceded him, "Mechlal d'shamei l'Rabbi Meir domar klola havi." It must be that it's a reaction to what he heard Rabbi Meir saying that v'lo lecha is klal. The Omar lay Rabbi Yehuda protahavi, and Rabbi Yehuda responded and said, "No, if you're going to use the vavs referring to each one, that individualizes the oath." Rabbi Yochanan Omar. Rabbi Yochanan, in viewing the Brisa with Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda in there, he says, Travayu le Rabbi Meir protahave. As far as Rabbi Meir is concerned, the expressions, whether it's lo lecha, lo lecha, lo lecha, without the vavs, or it's lo lecha, vilo lecha, vilo lecha, with the vavs, as far as Rabbi Meir is concerned, that would be prat. The Omar le Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda's response to Rabbi Meir, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the vilo lecha moldin alach, with the use of the vavs, I concede to you that is prat. Below lecha, however, in the case of lo lecha, without the vavs, paligno aloch. On that, I disagree with you. So that if you look at, again, if you look at the chart where Rabbi Yochanan makes his, where we present Rabbi Yochanan's version, and you look at the second line of that chart, lo lecha, lo lecha, and looking across, Rabbi Meir has that as prat, and Rabbi Yehuda having that as klal. Now, Shmuel's response to Rabbi Yochanan, he doesn't like Rabbi Yochanan's approach. He says, ad odi le odoye, until he, instead of stating a point of agreement, in other words, we have a brisa above, the third line of the framed source above, where Rabbi Yehuda says, Shvua lo lecha vilo lecha, and you, Rabbi Yochanan, were saying that in the case of vilo lecha, there's agreement. Why in the world, in a brisa, where right before Rabbi Yehuda appeared Rabbi Meir, ostensibly they're coming to argue, why in the brisa would you state an example of something that you agree with? So, as Shmuel says, instead of, or until you come to the point in the brisa where you're meeting up with each other, and then say something that's a point of agreement, lifluga leiflugi, you should say the point of controversy. Why else are they both being presented in the brisa? We continue. Rabbi Yochanan diek mimas nisen. Rabbi Yochanan derives his conclusions from as far as the opinion of Rabbi Meir, and then what would Rabbi Yehuda hold from studying the Mishnah. Midikama Rabbi Meir, from the fact that we saw in the Mishnah Rabbi Meir saying, and when we read the Mishnah, we indicated that the first opinion of the Mishnah had no name, so we can assume that that would be Rabbi Meir. So from the fact that in the Mishnah the first opinion said Shvur Shein Lechem Biyodi equals Klol Haveh, that where you say a collective, even in the translation you see the collective element. He says, I swear that I don't have, and to you, you as a second person plural, I don't have your items in my possession. That is a general or collective oath. Michlal Devil Lo Lecha Prota Haveh. It must be then that by saying the string of oaths using the vav, that would be considered individualizing, according to Rabbi Meir. The e salka daitoch vilo lecha klola have. If you were to think that even with the individualized element, but the use of the vav makes it into a collective oath, then ademashma lon shvur shein lechem biyodi, instead of telling me something that is easily translated as a collective oath, something that's fairly obvious, nishmeinon shvur lo lecha velo lecha velo lecha, better tell us that as being a collective oath, and kol shekein shvur shein lechem biyodi, and all the more so if he would say that it would follow. So from the fact that Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah says that a collective oath is Shvur She'ein Lochem Biyodi, he swears using the collective term in the actual oath, then it stands to reason that anything else that has a more individualized tone to it, even though you have the connecting vav to each one, v'lo lecha, v'lo lecha, nevertheless, that is individual in nature. So as far as Rabbi Yochanan is concerned, under Rabbi Meir, the example of velo lecha, velo lecha, that must be prat, that must be individualized. Ushmuel Omar, Shmuel, in explaining the Mishnah, what does he respond? Shmuel says, kol ha'omer velo lecha, ke'omer shvua she'en lochem biyodi domi. As far as Shmuel is concerned, the Mishnah is telling me that by when it says shvua she'en lochem biyodi, it's not as if the Mishnah is saying that that's what he says, but rather the Mishnah is saying that if he says the shvua she'en lecha velo lecha, it's as if he said shvua she'en lochem biyodi, because the velo lecha, according to Shmuel's version of Rabbi Meir, that is in fact klal. At this point, then, we have a machlokes between between Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan in how to view the velo lecha according to Rabbi Meir. In other words, that is the point of machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel. If you look back at the chart, you'll notice that this stands out very clearly. So let's do that together. You look back at your charts, starting with the Shmuel chart. Take a look at the second line of that chart. Lo lecha, lo lecha. Rabbi Meir, prat, Rabbi Yehuda, klal. Skip to the Rabbi Yochanan chart. Again, the same second line. Lo lecha, lo lecha. Notice the same thing. Rabbi Meir, prat, Rabbi Yehuda, klal. So on lo lecha, lo lecha, there's no machlokes. Where do you see a machlokes? On lo lecha, v'lo lecha, v'lo lecha, where you have the vavs added to each denial. And if you look at the charts under Rabbi Yehuda, Shmuel's Rabbi Yehuda on v'lo lecha, v'lo lecha, prat, and Rabbi Yochanan's v'lo lecha, v'lo lecha, Rabbi Yehuda, also prat. Again, no machlokes. Where is there a machlokes? It's only with regard to the v'lo lecha, Rabbi Meir. According to Shmuel, v'lo lecha is called klal. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Meir says that is also prat. Now the Gemara. It continues. We have a triangle marking scheme, and under our Mivneh, we'll note right ahead, immediately, Kushios al Shmuel. We will be challenging Shmuel. So now that we focus the discussion, we're going to see sources where the Vav is used, and if we're going to be the Vav and presenting Rebbe Meir each time, according to Shmuel's Rebbe Meir, the Vav indicated Klal. Sources that we see, if it's going to be questions on Shmuel, sources will indicate that that is prat. So now let's continue. Tanan, lo lecha v'lo lecha v'lo lecha. This was a quote from the Mishnah Lamed Vav Amid Beis, a quote from Rabbi Meir. Five people were collecting from a Bailey, and he denied, and he used this expression. And we saw in the Mishnah, Rabbi Meir said that he's chayav al kol achas v'achas, and that is a problem for Shmuel, because Shmuel's v'lo lecha v'lo lecha under Rabbi Meir had that as klal, which would be a collective oath. The Gemara responds, Tani, restate the Mishnah, lo lecha, drop the vavs, and that's why it's individual. And when you look at Shmuel's Rabbi Meir, when you see lo lecha without the vavs, in fact, it's prat, it's individualized. Again, a new question. Toshma, tein li pikadon utsumes yad v'gezel v'aveda. Here someone was claiming from an individual, you owe me a loan, you owe me something you stole, and you have my lost article. And the Mishnah went on to say that is chayav al kol echos ve'echos, which indicates the nature of this claim, was a individualized claim with an oath saying that I don't have each one of these things. You see the Vav, and it equals something individualized. And that's not like Shmuel's version of Rebbe Meir. The Gemara says, Tni, so rather state, Tsumes Yad, Gezel, Aveda, without the Vavs. Toshma, another question. Tain li chitim usaorim v'kusmin, and the result of that was chayav on each one. Here, a claim was made, you owe me wheat and barley and kusmin grains. And he would ended up being chayav when he swore, I don't have your chitin usaorim u'kusmin. He's chayav on each one separately. So the Gemara says, Shmuel's response to that is, Tani saorim kusmin without the vavs. Gemara asks now an obvious type question. Is this Tana, is our Mishnah so inaccurate? Each section of the Mishnah, you have to restate it. It means that the Mishnah in its original form is so inaccurate. Ella, rather, ha money, Rebbe he. The Mishnah does not represent the opinion of Rebbe Meir. The Mishnah represents another Tanaic opinion concerning whom Shmuel didn't say anything. The Omar, Rebbe's opinion is Lo Shna Kezayas Kezayas, Lo Shna Kezayas U Kezayas, Protahave. Shitas Rebbe is Rebbe Yudah Nossi, is that no distinction is made whether you use a Vav or you don't use a Vav. The example of Kezias is kind of borrowed case from Maseches Zvochim. And without getting into any details, we tell you that Rashi does give you the background for appreciating that. But for our purposes, though, our Mishnah simply represents another Tanaic opinion outside of that of Rebbe Meir. So there's no question on Shmuel from any of the sections quoted above. Toshma Mididei. Here we're going to raise a question from an explicit statement of Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir Omer, Afilu Chita Usora V'Koisemes Chayev Al Kol Achas V'Achas. The use of the Vavs individualizes, and that's a question on Shmuel. Tani, restate this, chita, sora, kusemes. Here it's not a function of restating many different clauses, it's just one source, and it's within the realm of reason to say that the source needs to be restated, and hence Shmuel finds his defense. My afilu, what is the intention of Rebbe Meir when he says, even this? Omar Rav Acha Brei Dravika, Afilu is not going on the Vavs that are found in this source, but rather, even if claim states the word Chita in the singular, Afilu Chita B'chlal Chitim. It's not as if the person is asking for a singular wheat grain, but the word chita has a general connotation. And Rashi cites sources for that for that point. Usora, the individual sora, which is barley, is bichlal sorim, is within the realm of the word in the plural form. The kusemes bichlal kusmin. We look at the Rashi. That we find a few lines above here in the Rashi. Chita b'chal chitim im tano chita. If the claimer used the expression chita in the singular, arei u ketano chitin. It's as if he made the claim using the plural chitim kirichtiv v'hachita v'akisemes lo nuku. And in that pasuk, the word chita is a word referring to the collective wheat of Egypt. We now continue in the Gemara. Tain li pikadu sumes yad gezel v'aveda shiyesh li b'yodcha. And the Mishnah went on to say, Tain li chita musar v'kusman sheyeshli biyodcha. The Gemara. Tein li chitim usorim. Omer of Yochanan, pruta mikulam mitzarefes. In order for a claim and a subsequent denial to lead to a korban, so there's a minimum amount of value that must be present. So, in order for it to be a money claim, it has to have the minimum value of a pruta. So Rashi here says pruta mikulam mitzarefes im ein lo alav mikulon elashav pruta mitzarfim lechayvo. If in the claim of these multiple grains, it's actually a rather small amount that is being claimed, but a little bit of wheat, a little bit of barley, if all together it equals a pruta value, so it joins up to constitute a claim. We continue in the Gemara. Pligi bo Rav Acha v'Ravina. Rav Acha v'Ravina argue regarding that which is in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, we saw a person saying Shvur she'ein l'cha biyadi chitim u'sa'orin v'kusmin. In stating that, namely, Shvur she'ein l'cha biyadi, and then itemizing chitim u'sa'or v'kusmin, are we to reckon that the opening phrase Shvur she'ein l'cha biyadi, before he gets to the itemizing of the grains, does that constitute a separate oath? The practical application of this analysis is, in the event that he's lying, he in fact has the chitim sorim the kaisman, how many vows has he in fact violated? 3 or 4, meaning do we include the opening Shvur she'ein l'cha biyadi as if it's a separate oath? So we have concerning this matter a machlokis Rav Achan Ravina. Chad Omar aproti mechayev, akloli lo mechayev. One says that only for the individualized items that he denied under oath as having is he considered guilty, but not for the opening general statement. V'charomer akloli nami mechayev. In addition to the guilt of having lied concerning the individual items, he's also considered having violated the opening general statement, Shvur she'ein l'cha biyadi. The Gemara asks, V'hatani Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya, concerning a case, the case we saw in the Mishnah as well, of 5 people putting a claim in to one Bailey saying, you have our chitim servikisman. You have 5 people with the claim of 3 items. He says, Rabbi Chiya says, Hare kan chamesh esrei chatois. This accounts for 15 sin offerings that the shomer, or the person being collected from when he lies, will have to bring. Ve'imisa, if it is so that you're chayav for the kloli as well, then esrim havyon, then there should be 20. In other words, he had said, this shomer had said to each one of the 5 people in his denial, he had said shvur she'ein lochem biyodi. And then he itemized 3 things. So the Shvur She'ein L'chem Biyodi should constitute an additional korban for each one of the regarding each one of the 5 people to whom he denied owing anything. So this would be a kasha, a problem for the opinion that says that Kloli Nami Mechayev. The Gemara answers, Hai Tano De proti kochoshiv, de kloli lo kochoshiv. The Tana was interested only in counting up the number of sin offerings for the individualized, for the itemized elements, and not for the Kloli Shavua as well. So that in reality, according to this, there are 20 sin offerings, but that wasn't the interest of the Tana to present to you a grand total of sin offerings, but rather the total of sin offerings for the itemized denials. The Gemara asks, "Vaha Tani Rabbi Chiya." Now here we have a question, but it's without the Rashi, it's hard to appreciate what is the basis of this question. So Rashi, we have a little star in the Rashi toward the bottom of the page, enabling to find it quickly, 3-4 lines from the bottom. Vaha Tani Rabbi Chiya, Beduchti Achriti, in a different location. He has a brisa that says Hare Kan Esrim. He says that there are 20 sin offerings. Shma mino dalid shvuas hain. 20 indicates there were 4 oaths. Uve komaisa lo choshiv deklola. And in the original, in the previous one, he did not count as adding to that total of 20 the klola. And this is the key point, that the 20, and it's not a reference to the case of the Chitim Sorim Vekusman that we had before. That's why Rashi says that this source that the Gemara quotes is a source from a different case altogether. So the Gemara says, you see that Rabbi Chiya reaches a total of 20, and in order to get to that number, we have to conclude that he wasn't counting the general Shavua, opening Shavua statement as well. So again, this represents a question on the opinion that says Klola Nami Mechayev. The Gemara answers, Hahi, that source of Rabbi Chiya that we said is a teaching regarding another case other than the Chitim Sorim case, Hahi, Apikonen Sumasyad Gezel Vaveda. There were 5 people claiming from the Shomer, that from the one being claimed from, that he owes them 4 items. So you have 5 people claiming 4 items. So when you look at the number of sin offerings based on the individual items, 5 people, 4 individual items, that gives you a total of 20. Hence, once again, you have a Tana that is counting only the prati. He is not interested in noting the additional number of sin offerings for the kloli. But there is in fact, the need to bring a sin offering for the violation of the kloli as well. Let us go over this last piece of Gemara again with a more accurate explanation. At times, in our Gemara markings, Shiurim, we discover that in the course of the Shiur itself, a better explanation could be given. So with our apologies, let's just back up for a moment. We raised a question from the source that said you see only 15 sin offerings, indicating that there is no chiyuv for the kloli. The Gemara answered that this particular Tana is not interested in mentioning the number of chatos for the klal oath, even though there would be a violation of that too. So when the denier said shavua, she'ein lecha biyodi, and he said to 5 people, chitim sarmakismen, for the statement of shvua she'ein lechem biyodi, there's a separate obligation, a separate violation. And as support to this answer, the Gemara says, and here we're going to read again the text, V'hatani Rabbi Chiya, and as support to that answer, we say Hirei Kan Esrim Chatos. lo and behold, you see another Rabbi Chiya source saying that there are in fact 20 sin offerings. How do you get to 20? So the thinking right now is that you had the denial of the three items. Again, bear in mind, he's talking to five people. So you have the denial of the three items, the Chitim, Sorim, and Kaisman, plus Shvua, She'ein, Lochem, Biyodi, the general statement, which would account for the additional five, adding to 15, giving a total of 20. Now, the Gemara rejects that support and says, "Hahi, the source that said 20 is not going on the case of the Chitim Sorim V'Kaisman, the three grains with a general opening Shvua, but rather that's going on a case where he said Shvua She'ein L'cha B'yodi Apikodem Sumesiad Gezel Aveda, where he says that to five people, and there are four individual items, so five times four, 20, without reckoning the Kloli. So you see, again, we don't necessarily count the Klal as a separate oath. Bominei Rava Me Rav Nachman. There were five people laying claim. The Omru Lo, and they said to him, Tain Lonu Pikodim Smisyad Vigezu Aveda, Shiyesh Lonu Biodcha. Give us these things, four items that you have of ours. Omar Le'echad Mehem, and he says to one of them, Shvua She'ein Lecha Biodi. Pikodan utsumesyad gezav aveda, velo lecha, velo lecha, velo lecha, velo lecha, mahu. What is the din regarding the subsequent individuals? Each time he says velo lecha, achado mechayev, does that account for one offense? And then, if that's the case, you would have the opening itemizing four violations, and then the four additional people that were addressed would be an additional one offense for each person, total of eight sin offerings. The Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis, Oidilma, or maybe Akol Chado V'Chado Mechayev. Just like for the first person of the five people, there were four violations because of the itemized element, that four violation factor applies to each one of the subsequent people for a total of 20 sin offerings. Toshma, so the Gemara answers from the following source, and this might be quite familiar to us, we just saw it. The Tani Rabbi Chiya says, Hare kan esrim chatos, that there are 20 sin offerings. Hey chidomi, what is the background or the circumstances to this 20 chatos ruling? E de porish, if he had spelled out pikodim sumisyad gezel aveda to each one of the people, so Rabbi Chiya minyano aslashmina, is Rabbi Chiya coming to count up for things that we can count on our own? Elo lav de lo porish, rather, he didn't itemize to each one of the subsequent individuals. Ushma mino proto havi. And we therefore can conclude from Rabbi's source that even though to people's 2 through 5 he said simply velo lecha, it nevertheless extends or continues the itemizing that he had done with regard to the first person, so that you have in fact 5 people, 5 times 4, 20 sin offerings. One more correction before we move on in the Gemara. When we spoke about the idea of Chayev on Proti and Kloli, the case was not like we said before, Shvua She'ein Lechem Biyodi Chitim Sorim V'Kusmin, but rather he had said as follows, Shvua She'ein Lecha Biyodi Chitin Saurin Vikusmin Velo Lecha Velo Lecha Velo Lecha. And the issue was, as we saw before, how about that opening shvuah shein l'cha biyadi? Does that constitute a separate violation or not? And we saw that was a machlokes. Now we continue in the Gemara. Onasto bitiso es biti, and the fellow who was charged responds, v'omer lo anasti. We saw chayav, and Rabbi Shimon poter sheinu mishalim knas al pi atzmo. We saw regarding this case a father who claimed from a man that the offender had raped his daughter, and the man responds, I did not do so. So according to the Tanakhama, when it turns out that he is lying, he is in violation. And according to Reb Shimon, he is not in violation. In other words, he doesn't have to bring a sin offering. Why? Because what he had sworn not having done is a type of payment that had he come forth on his own and said, I committed a rape, that's called moide beknas. He's confessing a type of offense that pays a fine type offering. And we have a rule, moide beknas is potter. The Chachomim, though, said it's true that the knas aspect is something that when you confess, you are thereby exempt from paying it. When you confess, we mean when you confess on your own. Nevertheless, there are additional payments in the case of a rape, and that includes boishes and pegam. It includes the embarrassment that she underwent, and it also includes the pegam payment, the depreciation in her value that must be compensated for. And those are monetary mamon payments. It's a different category of payment. And that kind of payment is not something that, with your confession, would you end up being exempt. So now we turn to the Gemara. Before we do the Gemara text, though, we look at the side under our Nosei Mivne heading, where you see a diamond feature. They represent Deos b'Rav Yochanan Echla Hasbir Machlokes Hatanoyim be'inyan Misha Kofer Be'oines. We saw Machlokes Tanoyim where the Chachamim said he's Chayev and Reb Shimon said Potter. Now the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Chiyo Bar Abba and Rabbi Yochanan, my time of the Rabbi Shimon. Why does Rabbi Shimon say that when the person denies falsely and swears that he did not do the Oines, why is he exempt? Answer, Hoyel the Iker Knas Hu Tovea. The reason for that is because the father who's coming to claim payment is coming primarily for the Knas aspect. And we mentioned this before, but let's go over the point again. A person who rapes a girl, without getting into the details under what circumstances is the payment made, but the Torah mandates a payment for the rape of 50 shekel kesef, that is for the act of the rape, but then there are accompanying payments beyond the 50 shekel kesef, 50 pieces of silver, which is we'll call that a knas payment. There's also boshes and pegam that needs to be compensated for. However, the main thing that the father is seeking out is the 50 pieces of silver, the 50 shekel kesef. That's the knas aspect. And since he's seeking out the knas element, that is a kind of payment that doesn't lead to guilt when one lies about it. And as we explained before, because it's a kind of payment that can actually be exempted if he had confessed on his own. Omar Rava, Moshal de Rabbi Shimon Lamad over Dome. If we want to give an analogy to Rabbi Shimon's opinion, we say the following. L'odom Shomar L'chavero, a man says to his friend, Tainli Chitim Usor V'Kosman Shieshli B'Yodcha. Give me the wheat, barley, and Kosman grains that you have of mine. Omar Lo, Shvur Shein L'cha B'Yodi Chitim. And the one being charged says, swears, I don't have your wheat. And it turns out that in fact he doesn't have any wheat. He doesn't owe him any wheat. However, he does have sorin, barley, and kosman grains, which he, by the way, did not deny. The potter, the fellow being charged, is exempt. the chishtab achitin, because regarding the chitin, the wheat that he was charged with, akushtim mishtaba, he swore, akushtim means truthfully. It was a truthful oath that he took, so he's not guilty. So the same thing in our case, says Rava, that the father was coming with a focused claim. Even though there are accompanying elements to the claim, there's, in addition to the knas, the 50 pieces of silver, there's also the embarrassment compensation and the depreciation compensation, but that's not what the father was focusing on. The Gemara raises a question on what Rava just said, the analogy that Rava gave. Omar le abai mi domi. How can you compare the case of the rape and the father's claim to the example you gave involving the grain collection? Mi domi. How can you compare them? Hosam bechitim kokofar le besorim vekusmin lo kokofar le. There, the one being charged denied having any wheat. Didn't issue any denial regarding the Sorim and the Kosman. He remained silent on that. Acha, when a man says, Lo anasti, I did not commit the rape, the kula milsahu de kokofar le. He in fact is denying the entire episode, which involves a denial not only of the 50, but a denial of the Boshes payment and the Pagan payment as well. Holo damya elo, if you want to draw any analogy, Abaye continues, that is to the following. Someone says to his friend, and the fellow responds, Shvua shein l'cho biyodi klal, I swear that I don't have anything of yours. Vishtakach chitin hu de lesle, ha-sa'irin v'kaismin is le. And it turns out that it's true he doesn't owe him any chitin, but he does owe him sa'irin and kaismin de machayev, that he is guilty. So why is it that when a father claims anasta SBT and he denies it, and it turns out that he is lying, why would Rabbi Shimon say potter? Ela ki also Ravin om Rav Yochanan. Ravin, it comes with his version of Rav Yochanan. Before we had a diamond, prior to which we saw Rav Chiya bar Abba's version. Now we have Ravin's version. The Divrei Rabbi Shimon, Knas hu tovea v'lo boshes apagam. According to Rabbi Shimon, when the father is coming with his claim of you raped my daughter, he's coming really with the claim only of the rape itself, the knas. He's interested in the 50. He's not. It's not on his mind at all to claim the boshes and pagam payment. So he's coming only with a knas claim. L'divrei chachomim, according to the chomim that say that the fellow who swears falsely is chayev, is guilty, because af boshes upagam hu tovea. The father is not discounting the boshes pagam, but that's also part of his claim. So according to Reb Shimon, since the father is claiming basically only the knas, even though he could have claimed the boshes pagam, but he didn't. He claims that he's putting a claim in for the 50 pieces of silver. And as we said before, that's a type of claim that if he had admitted on his own, he wouldn't have to pay it. Therefore, when he swears falsely concerning, it's not denying a real mammon payment. You note the difference between Ravin's presentation, Rabbi Yochanan, and the Rabbi Bar Abba's presentation, is that in Rabbi Bar Abba's presentation, according to Rabbi Shimon, the father really was claiming the boshes of Agam as well. But we saw that if that had been the case, and then there was denial, and it turns out there was a lie, Rabbi Shimon wouldn't say he's exempt. So therefore, Ravin reinterprets or upgrades the explanation of Rabbi Yochanan to say the father is claiming only the knas aspect. The Chachamim explain, no, the father also has in mind the boshes of pegam. Ben my komifli, what's the underlying point of machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and Chachamim according to this approach? Amar Rav Papa, Rabbi Shimon Sovar, Lo shovik inish midi the kids. A person, in this case the father, wouldn't abandon the chance to collect something that has a fixed rate, namely the 50 pieces of silver, the tava midi the lo kids, and seek payment or compensation for something that's not a fixed amount. The issue of boshes, embarrassment, and pagam, depreciation, is very subjective. Who was the victim? What kind of family is she from? Etc. And since that's something that's not fixed, it's not something that people pay attention to. They're not focused on that. People are focused on, according to Reb Shimon, on that which is as a fixed, in this case, a fixed Torah rate or sum. For Rabbanan Savri, lo shovik midi dechimoydebe lo miftar, a person, in this case the father, wouldn't abandon placing a claim for a mamon payment, a type of payment that even if someone were to confess it, they wouldn't be exempted. The tova midi dechimoydebe miftar, and seek collection of that kind of payment that the offender, had he admitted, would have actually been exempted from paying it. In other words, according to the Rabbanan, a father or a person in general puts a claim in for something that he will surely be able to collect under all circumstances, even if the offender were to confess. So with that, we conclude the fifth perek of Shavuos and begin now B'siyata D'Shmaya, the sixth perek, Shavuos Hadayonim. Before we begin the actual Mishnah, we glance at the side where we have a topic heading, which reads, Hamoida B'mitzas Hataina, Chayav Lishava. When someone is being claimed from, and he admits that he owes part of the amount that is being claimed, for example, A loaned money to B. For argument's sake, A claimed that he loaned $100 to B. And B responds and says, $50 I still owe you, but the other $50 I paid you back already. He's moide b'miktas. He confesses, he concedes that part of the amount that's being claimed is what he owes. Masai ulefieze tnoim nishboim. When and under what circumstances is an oath imposed? As we continue in the Mishnah, if you scan ahead, you'll notice a lot of triangles. The note on the side, the structural note, the mivneh, notes dugmois shel tainis v'hoidois. These are examples of claims and admissions. The double underline is going to be used to highlight the expressions Potter versus Chayev. So now the Mishnah. Shvuos Hadayonim, the shvuah imposed by the court, by the judges, in a case of someone who is moide b'mitzas. Hataina shtei kesef, the initial claim is a minimum of 2 kesef, a certain amount of money. We'll refer to it simply as 2 kesef, shtei kesef. Vaidoa b'shava pruta. The amount, the minimum amount that would constitute a confession or a whereby he concedes, the partial is a shava pruta. The Rashi on Hoidoa says, shemechayvoso lishava, the confession that obligates him to swear, lo te pachos mi pruta, shall be no less than a pruta, where the person be collected from admits, I still owe you a pruta. Uvi Gemara pligi Rav Shmuel bepruta zu. We'll see a machlokus in the Gemara between Rav and Shmuel regarding this pruta. Im mitoch shtei kesef shel tainahi, is it one pruta of the 2 kesef that was being claimed? Oitzorch shtei tainas akfira shel kesef shtei mois kesef levad pruta shel hoida, or possibly the original claim that's going to lead to a denial, the original claim would have to be 2 kesef plus a pruta, so that the denial would have to be a minimum of 2 kesef and the admission 1 pruta. And if that's the case, the original claim would have had to be not just 2 kesef, but 2 kesef and a pruta to enable the minimum to be the denial in that case. According to that opinion, the denial would be a minimum of 2 kesef. So we will see a machlokas tanoim if there is a stated minimum for the amount of the denial. Let's continue in the Mishnah. V'imein ha'ido mimin ha'taina, potter. If the admission is a substance or something that is not of the same nature, the same identity as that which is being claimed, then the person is exempt from taking the oath. When a person is modeh, when he's b'mitzah, so we've said he has to take an oath. However, where the admission doesn't match the original claim, and of course we will see examples of this, then there is an exemption from having to take that oath. Ketzat, shtei kesef li biyodcha. Person claims that you owe me 2 kesef, 2 pieces of silver. And the response is, ein l'cho biyodi ela pruta. I have of yours in my possession, in other words, I still owe you only a pruta. Potter. There is exemption. The admission was what? Was a pruta. The pruta is a copper substance, copper coin. The claim was 2 pieces of silver. So the claim was silver, the admission copper. And as a result, the admission doesn't match the claim, and therefore there's exemption. Let's look at Rashi together. Ein l'cho biyodi ela pruta. Potter. She'ein ha'hido mimin ha'taino. The admission is not of the same nature as the original claim. Shezet tono kesef. The original claim was for silver. V'zeh ha'idolo nechoshes, and he admitted copper. Ukagon shelo tonu lo shte mois shel matbea elo mishkoloi. The claim was for the weight of 2 pieces of silver, not a claim for 2 silver coins. Im tonu matbea, had the original claim been for silver coins, in other words, there was a claim for coins, and there was an admission of a coin. Hare hoidelo b'matbea kidlekamon. Then the halacha would be different. The admission in that case is of the same nature as the original claim. But here we're dealing with a claim of silver in weight. Shtei kesef, 2 kesef in weight. Let's just simply say it's a claim of silver, certain amount of silver, and the admission was, I do owe you a certain amount of copper. Hence, you can see that the admission doesn't match the claim. Other examples, shtei kesef upruta li biyodcha. Claim is for 2 silver and a pruta, and the response is, ein l'cho biyodi ela pruta. There is admission of a pruta. Chayav. He is guilty. In other words, he is obligated to swear. The thinking right now, and Rashi points this out, is that this is an example of a claim of 2 items, 2 separate items, like wheat and barley, and the person claimed from admits to 1 of them. Yes, I owe you the barley. So that, according to this explanation, Tano Chita Musorim, a claim of wheat and barley, and the admission of 1 of them constitutes grounds for a shua, a type of mode b'mixas. Mono li biyodcha, a claim for a mona. Mona is 100. And the responder says, Ein lecha biyadi. I have nothing of yours. Potter, I owe you nothing. There's no admission. It's complete denial. Hence, there's no grounds for an oath. Mono li biyadcha, and the fellow responds, Ein lecha biyadi elo chamishim dinar. You're claiming 100 dinar from me. I admit that I owe you only 50 dinar. Chayav, he has to swear. Mono li abo biyadcha. Fellow comes with a claim, you know, you owe my father a mona. And the one being claimed from says back, Ein lo biyadi elo chamishim dinar. I owe your father only 50 dinar, not 100. Potter. Even though you have a moida b'mitzas, nevertheless, there is no grounds for a shvua, for an oath, that may shu kemeshiv aveda, because this kind of admission is tantamount to someone restoring a lost article. That's a literal translation. Now Rashi elaborates, and we look at the Rashi together. Meneshu kemeshiv aveda. By his confessing or admitting to 50, he's being a nice guy. Shaya yochalo is pona velichbar. He could have easily denied, I don't owe your father anything. After all, he's not denying to the one to whom the money is owed. He's denying to the son of the one to whom the money is owed. And as such, it wouldn't have been impossible for him, for the one being claimed from, to simply have denied everything. Umidalo hayis, from the fact that he wasn't so bold as to deny everything, hareu kemeshiv aveda, she'enu chayav shvua, he's like someone who is restoring a lost article to its owner. Someone like that doesn't have to swear. Can remember Sechas Yigitin, hamoitz mitzio, one who finds a lost article and gives it to the owner, lo yishava, he doesn't swear to say, well, you know, if you claim you lost something of $100 in value, and I found only this thing that's worth $50, or you claim you lost $100 in folded bills, I found the folded bills, but only $50. He doesn't swear, for the benefit of mankind, we don't impose an oath, because if you were to insist on people in under circumstances like that having to swear, they wouldn't bother, they would avoid the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, of restoring lost items, because people don't like to be subjected to oaths. Continuing in the Mishnah, Mono li biyodcha, Omar lohein, person is claiming you owe me 100. Fellow admits, yes, and he admits so in front of witnesses. Lamochar Omar Lo, the next day the claimer says, Tanaili, give to me the amount that you admitted you owed me. And the fellow responds, one possible response, Nosativ Loch, I gave it to you already. Potter. He is exempt. However, if he says, Ein Lecha Biyadi, I don't have anything of yours, then Chayav. Now Rashi says, and we, by the way, if you're looking for the Rashi, we've included the Rashi that appears in standard Gemaras later printed on Daf Mem Beis. We've copied them onto our Daf at the bottom of the page. In this case, when he denies, when he says Ein Lecha Biyadi, he's denying the whole matter. When just the day before, he admitted in front of witnesses as to owing the money. So now you have a denial of something that had actually, yes, taken place. Chayav, Rashi says on Chayav, it's very important to note, Rashi says Chayav l'shalem, he has to pay money. He has to pay that which he admitted owing. V'eino ne'eman b'shvua. He is not believed anymore to swear. Sharei hufsekaf, when he's demonstrated his status as a kafron, as a liar, a denier. Therefore, chayev means, as we saw now in the Rashi, chayev to pay. We continue in the Gemara, in the Mishnah. Mono li biyadcha, amar lohein. And the claimer goes on to say, al titneu li elo bi'edim. You know, you are admitting that you owe me money. I want you to give it to me, but only in front of witnesses. Lamocha Amar Lo, Taneoli. Next day, claimer says, well, give me the money. And he says, response, Nasativ loch, I gave it to you already. Chayov, he has to pay. They should sorch litno be edim. He should have paid if he really did in front of witnesses, and he can't produce witnesses like that, so he has to pay. Litra zahav yesh li biyotcha. Here a claim is made for a liter. Litra is a weight of gold, a certain amount of gold. You owe me. A fellow responds, ein l'cho biyodi al litra kesef. All I owe you is that weight, but in silver. Potter. He is exempt. Notice the admission is not the same substance as that which was being claimed. It's not called hoido'o mimin hataina. Dinar zahav yesh li biyotcha. You owe me a gold dinar coin. And fellow responds, ein l'cho biyodi elo dinar kesef, or utresis, or upundios, or upruta chayav. Shakol min matbea achas. All of these are different types of coins. So the original claim was for a coin, a gold coin, but it was a claim for a coin, and the admission was for a coin as well, a coin of lesser value. So you have moida b'miktas. You have a partial admission of the same type of item that was being claimed. Hence, there is an obligation to swear to what you are admitting. Kor tvua li biyotcha. Person puts a claim for a kor. A kor is a certain quantity. It's a specific quantity of tvua. And tvua is a term that includes different kinds of grains. And the fellow admits, ein l'cho biyodi ela lesech kitnis. The lesech is also a quantity. It's smaller. It's a smaller quantity than a kor. And he admits, I owe you only a lesech of kitnis. Kitnis often is translated as legumes. It's something. It's a substance, a type of vegetation that's not tavua, potter. So there is exemption. Kor peros li biyotcha. Here a person puts a claim in for a kor. It's a measure of peros. Now the word peros we're going to discover very shortly is a very broad expression having to do with vegetation. And the fellow admits, ein l'cho biyodi ela lesech kitnis. All I owe you is a lesech of kitnis. It's a smaller amount of kitnis. Chayov. This is moda b'miksa. So he has to swear to that effect, to his admission. Sha kitnis b'chlau peros. Kitnis is a subcategory of peros. So you have, what once again, an example of hoido mimin hataina. We have a new section of the Mishnah with a new marking, where you can see under the Mivneh heading, trapezoid or volcano shape, with the narrow part facing up, that represents a taina, a claim, and the inverted, a hoda, an admission. A claim was placed for wheat, and the admission was in barley. Potter. There is exemption. Exemption from having to swear. Rabbi Gamliel, Mechayev. Rabbi Gamliel does not have the requirement that we've mentioned till now of Hoido Mimin Hataina, where the admission has to be of the same nature as the original claim. Therefore, this kind of admission could result in a shvua. Hatayin l'chaveru bekadei shemen. Person claims that claims from his friend that he owes him kadei, or it's the plural word kad. It's a type of vessel full of oil. Vessels full of oil. V'hoida lo bekankanim, and he admits that he owes vessels without admitting oil. Admon Omer, Hoyel Vahoida Loi Miktsas Mimin Hataino Yishova. According to Admon, it's a name of a Tanaic opinion, since he admitted part of that which was originally claimed, so he is obligated to swear. Vahachomim Omerim, Ein ha'ido mimin hataino. The admission is not of the same nature as the original claim. Omar Rabbi Gamliel, Roy ani es divrei Admon. I, says Rabbi Gamliel, I see Admon's approach as being the way to rule. Tano keilu v'karkois. A claim was made for vessels and land. V'hoide v'keilim v'kofar v'karkois. And there was admission of owing the vessels, but denial of land, v'karkois v'kofar. Or there was an admission of owing land, but denial of vessels. Potter, there is exemption. Hoide v'miksas akarkois potter. If there is an admission of part of the land, he's exempt. B'mitzas hakelim chayav. If in this case, where a claim had been placed for vessels and land, there was total denial of land, and when it came to the vessels, there was partial admission of the vessel, of the vessels being owed. Chayav. This generates the need for an oath. And when we speak about an oath here, it's an oath not only regarding the vessels. That might in fact be part of, that might be obvious. That's a straightforward case of moide b'miksas. But the oath is going to extend to the claim of denial of the land as well. Ah, but before we said when there's let's say total admission of land of vessels and total denial of karka, there's exemption. Why over here, where we have an example of total denial of land, there is going to be a vow imposed? Shanechosim shein lamachrayas. That's an expression literally means items or property that doesn't serve as the basis of a guarantee. In simpler terms, it means portables, metaltalin, or vessels. Vessels, zoikikin es anechosim sheshel machrayas lishov aleihem. They drag along. Nechosim sheshel machrayas is a term referring to real estate, to land. So an oath that you have to take regarding portables, when, as we saw, there was partial admission of owing the vessels, that generates the need to swear regarding the claim or denial of concerning the land. In other words, once the shvua process gets started, so then the oath concerning the land can also be imposed. But on its own, we don't swear regarding land matters. Ein nishboyen al tainus cheres shoyte v'katan. If these individuals, these are people that are, we'll say, lacking, you know, they're ineligible type individuals, a deaf mute, an imbecile, or a minor, if they lay forth a claim, that will not generate an oath. V'ein mashbien al hakotan, avol nishboyen lekotan ulehegdish. These terms, this part of the Mishnah, will be dealt with later in the Gemara. Hechi mashbeinon le. The topic heading that accompanies this section of the Gemara, under the Nosei, says Hechi mashbein. How is the oath imposed? We'll deal with Shem Hashem, the use of God's name. Nikitas chefetz, holding a vessel of holiness. Mumon, while standing. So here we get into the details of how is the oath in practical terms done. So Rav says, Mashbir oso b'shvua amura b'torah. We impose upon him the oath stated in the Torah, Dichtiv. Avram Avinu binds his servant Eliezer by oath, and he says, V'ashbiacho b'shem elokei ha'shamayim. Omar le Ravina le Ravashi. Ravina asks Ravashi regarding what Rav just said. Keman, based on which Tanaic opinion does he say what he does? Are we to say Kerebi Chanina Bar Idi Demar Buinon Shem Hamiyuchad, that a we'll say that in oath or in other areas of halacha that we have seen already, only if you use the specific ineffable name of God is it binding. Omalei, so Ravashi says back to Ravina, Afilu Temo Rabbanan, that which Rav says is even in accordance with the Rabbanan, the Amri Bekinui. Let's say that oaths and the like can be accomplished through a kinui. Kinui being a unofficial or the non-formal name of the Almighty. V'nafkamina, that which Rav said, tzorich litpuse chefso biyodei. When Rav said that we impose an oath like that of Avram, his purpose wasn't in terms of like Avram use the ineffable name, but rather like Avram that used a symbol or item of holiness. So in the oath that Avram imposed on his servant, he said to his servant, there's Simno Yod Chotachas Yirechi, where the servant held upon the Bris Milah. So too, we use an article of sanctity, Uchidurava, and in accordance with Rava's teaching, the Yoma Rava Haidaino De Ashba Bashem Elokei Hashamayim, a judge that imposes an oath using the name of Hashem but doesn't use a vessel, doesn't have the one swearing hold a vessel of holiness, Nase Kemishita Bidvar Mishnah V'Choizer. It's like a fundamental mistake. Tov B'Dvar Mishnah is an example of a mistake in an obvious, well-known teaching, and he has to do it again. V'yomar Rav Papa Haidaino De Ashba B'Tfilin Nasek Mishita B'Dvar Mishnah V'Choser. And Rav Papa says that an oath imposed while the swearer is holding tefillin is also a mistake. In other words, according to Rav Papa, tefillin is not significant enough a holy article in order to meet the qualifications necessary for an oath. According to Rav Papa, you would have to hold a Sefer Torah, a Torah scroll, while the oath is being taken. And therefore, holding the tefillin is like a tois b'dvar mishnah, and it has to be done again. We rule like Rava, that one who swears without holding an article, a chafetz, an article of holiness, is considered a mistake. However, we do not follow the ruling of Rav Papa that claimed tefillin is insufficient. We rule like Rava, because someone who swears Belakei Yisrael without holding something, so that's a fundamental mistake. But less Hilchosuk Avasid Rav Papa, we do not rule like Rav Papa. The Honokit Chefso Biyodei, because after all, while holding tefillin, you're also holding something of holiness, and that is sufficient. Shvua me'umad. When the oath is sworn, he has to be standing. Talmud Chacham Yushav. A Torah scholar can be seated. Shvua b'sefer Torah. The shvua is made, the oath is taken, while holding a Torah scroll. Talmud Chacham lechatchilo b'tfilin. If a Talmud Chacham is in the position where he has to swear, it is sufficient for him to hold, even as a first choice, tefillin. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.